Time now for Lost and Found Sound, our series marking the importance of recorded sound over the past century. Over the past year and a half, we've heard about endangered sounds and vanishing voices, and about people who are possessed by the need to capture American history and life through recorded sound. Today's story is about one such man, James Eddie McCoy from Oxford, North Carolina, a tobacco town of 10,000 located 50 miles north of Raleigh. Eddie began recording the life and lore of his town on a scavenged cassette recorder about 20 years ago, interviewing his neighbors, friends, total strangers. This week, Lita Harmon and the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, present this story, A Man Tapes His Town, the unrelenting oral histories of Eddie McCoy.
Let me ask you a question. Why did Oxford grow? What happened over there? You know, why did people come to Oxford? I want to know about what took place.
I'm curious. I'm nosy.
What happened over there?
That's what oral history and interviews is. So you got to, your mind got to go to work. You know what you want, but you got to figure out how to get it. You ask one thing, they come out with another thing. You got to come back with another thing. A little surprises. It's fascinating what they'll tell you. You don't ever know what's going to hit you. A lady told me, said, I know a man that's 110 and ride a bicycle. Said, go talk to him. And I said, okay.
I'm Eddie McCoy. This morning I'm out at Mr. Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out at Mr. Harris. What's your first name, Mr. Harris?
Matt Harris.
I'm out at Mr. Matt Harris. Mr. Matt Harris, how old are you?
110 years old.
110 years old. Do you know what year, what month you was born in?
I'm James Eddie McCoy. I've been messing with this stuff ever since 1979. I interviewed over 140 people. I got about 150 tapes.
What I want you to tell me this morning is, tell me about the history of your life, and we're going to talk about the history of Oxford and what you remember and the changes. And tell me if we can start with you and your brother and your father.
Hope put the first concrete in Oxford.
You put the first concrete
in Oxford.
Where was this at?
I said, I hope put the first concrete in Oxford.
The first concrete?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was born in Grammar County, Oxford, April the 1st, 1942. Oxford was a quiet community. Wasn't anything exciting here. Just train come by twice a day. Practically everybody lived in shotgun houses. No paint on them. A dirt yard, got old rugs on the floor, linoleums. You can pull up the linoleum and got cracks in the floors. You can feed the chickens and punch food through the floor. It's hot as the devil in the summertime and cold as the devil in the wintertime.
Today, Mrs. Davis and I will be talking about this era she was raised up in.
I was born in Granville County right over the year of 1906. We got life in this era. 1947.
Okay, because in Oxford on another side was 1950.
Yeah, we got 1947. George Patterson, all of us on this roof, good life.
Let me ask you, what happened when you got the washing machine?
Now, Lord, that was the best thing.
Tell me that.
Lord, that was overwhelming.
And got rid of all that blue in the water.
My name is David Soselski. I'm a historian at the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And that's how I stumbled onto Eddie McCoy's work.
What about coin shuckers and stuff like that?
Oh, no, that was a good time.
He's interviewed the janitors and the African-American teachers and the railroad workers and the tenant farmers and sharecroppers, the black physicians, just anybody and everybody.
Oh, everybody come around. And Mama would cook the best food and never see so much food.
Now, I want you to explain to young people that will be listening to your work.
Here at the Southern Oral History Program, we have, I think, the largest collection in the South. It's incredibly diverse, done by hundreds of interviewers. But Eddie's is distinctive in a way that I've never seen before. And in my eyes, it had to do with kind of who Eddie is and what he brings to it.
Well, you're a school teacher. Tell me why we can't do it now. You've been around.
I just don't know.
I was in a wreck. I messed up all my muscles and nerves in my back and neck. And I couldn't do anything. And I lost a lot of my business and everything. Janitorial business. 35 people working for me. I couldn't take that. Could you imagine that? I've been doing that all my life. A doctor referred me to a psychiatrist, and he asked me, what could I do? And I told him I couldn't do nothing. He said, can you use your head? I said, no, I can't use my head. What if I use my head? Probably never use my head. I always use my hands. What you do part-time? You ever done anything, use your head? I said, I mess around with books. I mess around with research. I've done stuff like that, bummed around with it. He said, why don't you do it? I started going to the library. I joined a genealogy class and started working from there.
May the 1st, 1995.
June.
I'm James Eddie McCoy. Time is 6 o'clock. A visit with Mrs. Lucy Jones, 520 Hancock Street.
What year was you born?
1915, June 14th. I ain't never been married once in my life.
Oh, yeah?
One time.
That's good.
I hurt nobody's feeling. If I can't help you, I don't hurt you.
Me too.
I love people. Did you know there's a lot of white people in town that will mistreat you and don't mean it? Did you know it?
Uh-uh. And don't mean it?
Yeah.
What?
They have to do it to stay white.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got something like that. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. When I started messing with research, I thought you had to have a master's degree, a doctor's degree, or finish college. I did. I came up in the street. If you come up in the street, you learn all walks of people, how they tick.
Eddie grew up on the streets of Oxford. His daddy owned a pool hall. His daddy was kind of a renowned, let's call him a hustler. He found ways to make his family survive and to do it with dignity. Eddie served in the army. He learned how to fight. He hung out at the Soul Food Cafe, which was that was kind of the hangout for the civil rights movement in Oxford. This is not the background that most of the historians out there listening to the Forgotten Voices of the South have.
It's like fortune teller. Listen to stories that people tell you what they did. That's all fortune teller is. It's putting together, it's kind of using skills, it's reading people.
Okay, what's your name? Yeah. Tell me your name first.
My name is Novella. Now, my daddy, he was a baby, he said. His daddy went and cut his hand off because he didn't want to be sold.
Where?
Cut his hand off, keep him being sold. That was slavery time, I'm telling you.
And he didn't die?
No.
They stopped the bleeding.
He was sold. His daddy was sold.
When Eddie McCoy calls, people know exactly who they're talking to, and they're going to talk to Eddie like they won't talk to anybody else. They also know what he did in the Civil Rights Movement. They've at least heard tell of it.
Fresh memories to me. You is one of us. Did you know it?
I've been around. Yeah.
You is one of us.
Yeah, I've been around this family a long time.
Eddie was a leader in the Civil Rights Movement in Oxford. And I'm not talking about just nice, peaceful marches down through the streets of Oxford. I mean, he did those things, too, in sit-ins. It was a very violent civil rights movement that they had in Oxford. A lot of Klan, a lot of white terrorism. The African-American people in Oxford did not just sit down and take that.
Well, the community roused up, and they started burning the town down. It was tough around here for about 2 or 3 months. I don't care what nobody said. You got to have violence. Martin Luther King was fine. I wouldn't have followed him nowhere. Anything threaten your livelihood, you're going to react. You got to show them. They're from Missouri. That's the way you get their attention. In the civil rights movement, you got to hit them.
Eddie came through all that. He becomes a successful businessman, city councilor, first African-American elected to the county commission in Granville County. Eddie got some college, but by and large, he's really a completely self-trained historian.
You know why they call Brown's?
No, where's Brown Corner at?
One of the oldest buildings in town, all I can tell you. It's called a place that they called Brown's Corner.
Was that where all the blacks used to hang out at
that's
and talk?
Right, that's right.
Brown's Corner.
That's right.
And that's where everybody used to stand.
That's right.
And people still stand there now.
All right.
And the well was right in the center of the street.
That's, right.
That's where the horse well
that's
was.
Right.
Oh, y'all had a good time on that corner, didn't you?
Yeah.
All these books, I've been through the library and done research on the whole county. All the churches in the county, I went through and tried to get all the books, all these boxes. Here's research out of county government buildings, city buildings, and all that. This box here, It contained everybody that went to jail from about 1953 up to 1960. I wish I could get the book before that. Everybody went downtown to jail. I tried to look for my parents' families before I got into this. And I would go to Virginia, go down to Morris County, North Carolina, and look around. And I just couldn't ever get anywhere. My father was an orphanage boy here in town. My mother was adopted, and she don't know anything about her family. She was hauled around with different people. People in my genealogy class said that's why I got so interested in research, is because I couldn't do anything with my family. I wanted to probe, and I started doing it for other people. And I didn't pick families, I do the history of Grandma County. So that gave me an avenue into everybody's family.
Mrs. Harris, what was the farm and plantation you was born on?
Tom Cheatham.
Uh-huh. How old are you, Mrs. Harris?
I am 89 years old.
89?
I don't tell you about my age because it's none of our business.
Oh, I won't reveal it.
All right then. I was born 18 and 92. Women had those white babies. They could not help themselves because the master made them do it. But you don't have to put that down there.
When the black women had the babies for the white men.
Yeah, don't you put that down there. I
That's not fair to me.
Yes, it is. It's fair to me. Cause I don't know.
Imagine Oxford and Granville County as a place where it's poor. It's a lot of small communities that are withering away. The young people, particularly young African-American people, can't stay. They're moving off to cities. And here, Eddie McCoy, who's lived in town all his life, is coming and cares about what they lived through, cares enough to sit down and visit.
I said, now what is I'm doing to live the long and average man? What have I did to do that?
If you collect your information now and your resources now and put it away in 50 or 30 years, somebody gonna come back and want this stuff. And then that's what to begin. Collect your stuff now. That's what happened with slavery. We waited too late to get the best part of it.
Now, where you taking all this mess for?
We having fun talking about the old days,
yeah,
you and I.
That is true. I hadn't thought of it like that.
Raining, we ain't got nothing else to do but sit around and talk about what...
We lost our history. They want to talk about the future. How can you go to the future without the past? That's why I want to do it. Don't wait too late.
Everything seemed like a dream to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long.
Uh-huh. Did you always go to church?
The unrelenting oral histories of Eddie McCoy was produced by Lita Hartman and the Kitchen Sisters, Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson.